you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That was Mark 16:15.
Reading from John 3:30. I must decrease and he must increase. That's John 3:30.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, August 12th, 2025. I think it's been about 10 plus months since I've had a Testimony Tuesday, but I'm excited to share two friends with you in the studio. In fact, one friend, Daniel Nally, he's been on a number of times. I just love this guy. He's a part of Gospel Encounter. He's bringing revival to the greater Champaign-Urbana area and vicinity. And actually, he had his friend in town, Nick Hurst. He was our special speaker at the ministry leader luncheon last Thursday, and he hit it out of the park. In fact, so many people said, gosh, he's so young. I'm so excited about the future when you have young people that are passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's going to be in the studio, and we're going to have him share some of his faith journey, life story, maybe a little of his love story. But they opened up the program with two special verses that are close to Nick's heart, and so we're going to talk a little about that, some of his testimony, and then what's happening with Gospel Encounter, bringing revival to our area. I'm so excited. I'm all in. I'm passionate about what Daniel and his team wants to do. In fact, Nick is a part of that team. He'll be back in the fall, and so we're going to talk about that. I hope you can stay with us for the next 20 or so minutes, and because I know of some of their background and life story, I think this is going to probably enter into tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, the Wednesday edition, because there's so much to say and share. And for some of you that know my mom, some of you were on an Israel trip many years ago with her, like Donna Barnes and Audrey Ricketts and others of you. She had her home going last Thursday, and so she's with the Lord, and thank you for your prayers, your support, your love for her. She's been out in the Arizona area for, I think, the last like 40 years with my brother Stu and brother Mike. Anyways, appreciate your prayers. And those of you that knew Judy Burns, she's in a better place. She finished well, and her quality of life the last so many years wasn't that great. So God's mercy, he brought her home, and Stu has been taking care of her so many hours, so many weeks and months and the last few years. So she's in a better place, and we thank God for that eternal place that those of us that follow Jesus get to be with God, where there's no more pain or suffering or heartache. And so we just trust in God's redemptive work for Jesus. And today we're going to talk about Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world. And so, Nick, I heard you share some of your testimony, just a brief part of it, because you had like a 3-point message, and maybe tomorrow we'll talk about that message because it kept everyone captivated and encouraged, and people said, wow, I have a real hope for the future, because you're like in your 20s, 28, 29?
27.
27. Wow. You look very young. In fact, I thought you were one of the interns with Gospel Encounter at one point.
Hey, but I'll take it.
Yeah, Not yet.
Yeah. But on this Testimony Tuesday, and I haven't done this for a long time, usually I have Pastor Rick Warren on, and we'll continue with this series next Tuesday and Wednesday. We're in the midst of a really great series with Pastor Rick Warren, but I thought with Nick and Daniel being in town, I would seize on the opportunity and have them in the studio today, because there's a lot going on with Gospel Encounter. And so, Nick, we're going to have you share some of your testimony and faith journey. But first, Daniel, talk a little about Gospel Encounter. I know last week we had that prayer gathering. It's always the first Thursday of every month. It coincides with my ministry leader luncheon. And so that was wonderful as we continue to pray up the greater Champaign-Urbana and vicinity. Those of you just outside of Champaign-Urbana, like Mahomet and St. Joe and Gibson City and Monticello and Arcola, you're all invited to this gathering, but a lot is happening in the greater Champaign-Urbana area. Campus visits, lifestyle evangelism, the saturation evangelism where you target different groups. whether it's like stay-at-home moms or firefighters, first responders, or the different demographics that you want to target, young children or college age or internationals. But that saturation evangelism is such a needed strategic way to reach people. So talk a little about Gospel Encounter, what's coming up, and then I want Nick to share some of his testimony and life story.
First of all, Mark, thank you so much for having us on here. We love it. It's always a pleasure. So we're so excited. This whole campaign is called Engage CU. Engage CU, and this name just came about as we've met with pastors and leaders and different community people, Christian people from across the cities. This just kind of emerged. Mm-hmm. This isn't necessarily just a Gospel Encounter thing, or this isn't a New Horizon thing, or a Meadowbrook thing, or a Christian church thing, or Baptist thing. This is the churches of CU coming together. And we're like, what do we call it? And we're like, well, what do we want to do? We want to engage with the lost in everyday life, and we want to share Jesus. And so Engage CU was born. And so, yeah, coming up here is an outreach. Basically, this is a campaign over about a month and a half, 2 month period. But coming up here on August 18th, we're going to be on the college campus, and everyone is invited out to that. We'll be meeting every day at 1 o'clock at Stone Creek's Midtown location. That's Stone Creek Midtown location. It's a church right there on the campus. We'll meet at 1 o'clock every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And we'll do some training with an evangelist, Don Coulter, from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then she is basically just going to help us do some training. Then we're going to go out to the campus every single evening. We'll be out there late into the night just sharing the gospel. Then after that, we've got things like working with Windsor Road, doing a mass food giveaway. But that's September 6th. And September 7th, we have International Student Picnic that we're hosting at Hessel Park with our friend Bill Erickson. And then, you know, after that, we've got the Engage Conference. Mm-hmm. Engage Conference is going to be epic. We have people coming in for the Engage Conference from all around the nation, even from across the world. And that's going to be held at New Horizon Church.
And that's September 12th and 13th?
That's September 12th and 13th.
Listening friend, get that on your calendar. We're going to fill that church up. That's going to be a couple days of training, of encouragement, of testimony time. You will be blessed and you want to attend. We'll mention this at the end of the program, but how can they find out more information?
Yeah, go to gospelencounter.com and just click on the tab that says Engage Conference. Engage Conference tells all about the conference. You can register there. And then there's another tab there that says Champagne 25, and that tells the entire schedule for all of these outreaches.
GospelEncounter.com, GospelEncounter.com. And for those of you, you've probably heard the name Daniel Nally, because he's been working on this, working with many churches for over a year now. He preaches at, I think, 6 or 7 different churches. I know you filled in, and then you've had lifestyle evangelism training and other things that I've attended, I think, 2 or 3 of them, and there'll be more of those down the road. But listening friend, we've been praying up, bringing the churches together, different denominations, to accomplish what only God could do beyond any one church vision, but all of us pooling together, all of us working together. That's God's desire. That was Jesus's prayer, that we would be one. And so we have so many of these pastors from the Ministry Leader Luncheon that meet each month, gathering together and encouraging each other. And so they're buying into this greater vision. How can we reach the greater Champaign-Urbana and vicinity with the gospel, reaching the lost or equipping the saints and encouraging those maybe far from God to entertain the idea that God loves them, to the senior saint that's just reveling in, wow, what an opportunity I can be a part of witnessing on campus. Yes, you can. So keep listening, and we'll mention the gospelencounter.com website and different dates that are coming up. In fact, next week, that's when you do that whole week of campus. And some of your team is basically kind of moving to this area, right?
Yeah, we actually, through our partners here in CU, we have 2 houses that have been generously given for us to stay in. So we'll be living here for about 2.5 months.
Okay, well, it's Testimony Tuesday, Nick, and I was so blessed by hearing a little of your testimony. You had some topics to share, and you only had about a 20-25 minute window because of the worship time and the pastors and announcements and such, but you rallied the troops, if you will. You were dynamic. You were effective. People were quiet and attentive and listening, and really left supercharged. And when a pastor can be supercharged, I feel like the congregation conversation is going to be blessed. But you shared three different points, and maybe on tomorrow, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, you can talk about that and share a little more. But talk a little bit about your own faith journey, because I think around the age of 14, you were kind of despondent and discouraged and kind of wondering, what is life all about? Maybe pick up from there and the influence your family or pastors or others had in your life, and then the calling to do what you're doing now with your beloved wife, Chelsea.
That's awesome, Mark. And just want to say thank you so much for the opportunity to come on. I was just saying before the show how encouraged I am by your faith and your witness. Yeah, my story really began on a crop farm in the north central part of the state of Florida. I spent about 20 years of my life in total there. Younger son of two incredible parents. I love my parents so, so much. And they did an incredible job raising my brother and I. But I didn't grow up too involved in church. We were always working, it seemed, whether it was on the farm or different business projects that we had as well. And so that took up a lot of my time. And as I began to get a little bit older and experience life and, you know, experience wins, experience losses, highs and lows, and I began to mature into a young man, I just began to deal with some questions and some really, really hard, difficult thoughts of, why am I here? Why does my life matter? What am I on this planet for? And I really didn't know where to go with those questions. I didn't know what to do with those questions. Who do you ask those kind of questions to? And so I just began wrestling with that very, very often. And I would go to bed and it would be top of mind. And I began to, I guess, show signs that I was really wrestling. And so one day I get out of school and I go over to my grandparents' house. And my grandparents, they didn't live too far away from the school that I was in at the time. And I walk in, and my grandfather, who has since gone to be with the Lord back in 2013, I walk in the door on this spring day in 2012, and school was wrapping up for the year. It was about to get out. It was around April. And I walk in the door, and my grandfather, he just notices that I'm downcast and that something isn't right. And so he pulls me aside, and he just encourages me. And he said, "Nick, I think that God made you for more than what you're walking through now."
And you're about 14 maybe at this time?
I'm a fresh 14-year-old, okay. Yeah. And I just remember that it really stuck with me. And so school gets out, we go into summertime, and I have friends who are just encouraging me to, "Hey, we want you to come to summer camp. Hey, we want you to come to summer camp. We want you to come to summer camp." It seemed like everywhere I turned that somebody was inviting me to come to summer camp.
The hound dog of heaven.
Yeah, there you go. And so I turn everybody down. No, I'm not wasting a week of my life going to summer camp. Well, next thing I know.
And did summer camp mean like a Bible camp where it'd be churchy?
Yes, but I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what it would be or what it wouldn't be. And so next thing I know, sure enough, I'm on a church bus and I'm headed to a summer camp in North Carolina on the campus of Gardner-Webb University. And man, it was that week that God just got a hold of my heart. And I didn't know when I got off the bus what to expect. But as the nights went on, as the days went on, I really began sensing the Holy Spirit was doing something in me and in my mind and in my heart. And on the very final night of camp, the camp pastor, he's an evangelist, a dear friend of mine now, named Clayton King, he gets up and he preaches a powerful word on the prodigal son. And man, it was like he was preaching straight to me in a room of 1,000 students. So that night, I respond to the gospel. I stand up to my feet, tears in my eyes, just knowing that there is nothing I can do to earn the love of God. There is nothing I can do to earn my way to heaven. I can't buy it. I can't work for it. I can't give away enough money. There is nothing I can do to achieve his grace and his love for me. The only thing that I can do is receive it by faith and ask him to be saved, to place my faith in him, as Romans 10 says, that if we would confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And that night, the Holy Spirit really illuminated that to me. And so I made that decision. And then from there, everything else really began to start. I really sensed that God was calling me to evangelistic ministry.
Even at that young age.
Because I'm thinking that young age, yes.
There's listeners that are maybe far from God or doesn't believe he exists, or how can he be personal like that? But you had a real sense as you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, as you recognized you were a sinner, flawed, you needed help. And there was like that release or that recognition in your mind and heart. Because you said, God got a hold of my heart. And mm-hmm. I'm just thinking there's probably listeners that, what does that mean? That's just so foreign. How can there be a loving God in this world with all the turmoil and the wars and the problems? There can't be such a thing as a loving God, mm-hmm. but there is.
Yeah, and I would say that it was more for me than just needing help. It was more like I had fallen off of a boat into the ocean and drowned to the bottom of the sea, and God supernaturally comes to the bottom, pulls me out, pulls me aboard to safety, and revives what was dead and brings it back to life and gives it a new purpose and meaning. And so for me, it was a radical experience of not just a church experience. I think many of us have been to church and we walk in one way and we walk out the same way. But for me, this was like God met me in this moment. And I believe that that's on offer for every single person listening today to this. Yeah. And so for me, that's really where everything began, that God gave me this overwhelming passion to go and tell people near and far about this good news of this loving God who gave himself as a ransom for them in their place on a cross that I should have been on, that you should have been on, Mark, that you should have been on, Daniel. And he did it in my place so that I didn't have to suffer. He loved me that much. And that is good news that never got old to me. Mm-hmm. And so I surrendered to that calling pretty soon thereafter, and it just began locally. Nothing on airplanes or going across the world. It just began in my local context in my high school. I gave my first sermon to a gathering one morning in my high school, an FCA gathering, Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
So you're now like 16 or 17 or
no,
something?
No, I was 14.
Okay.
This was 3 or 4 months
okay.
after receiving wow. Christ. And I get up and I give this, we'll call it a sermon.
Yeah, sure.
Who knows what it was. But I get up and I give this sermon, and there's probably about 380 students, 400 students in the room on this morning. And I give this message that Jesus loves you and he wants you. And if you would receive him by faith, he'll save you right now. If you would place your faith in him, he'll save you, that you can have a new start, a fresh beginning, a new life from this day forward. And 214 students stand up to their feet on that morning as a young 14-year-old, intimidated by everything, but at the same time scared of nothing because of the boldness that God had given me to proclaim his word.
And I know last Thursday when you shared with the group, you said at the time, 14-year-old, you were kind of disillusioned,
yeah,
discouraged,
so.
You know, working through anxiety and depression to some degree, like many young people do. But you were kind of without hope. And yet for the listener to hear that shortly after accepting Jesus, you're kind of bold and proclaiming his good news message. Was reading his word, did it become more new or living or active? Like, did you read his word before then? And then suddenly it's like, wow, I'm gleaning truth and it's making sense. Because sometimes people, like there's some listeners, I'm sure that like, Mark, I've tried to read the Bible and it doesn't make sense because maybe they've never asked Jesus into their heart or they've not really said, God, help me understand your word and so forth. But what role did God's word then begin playing in your life?
It was everything to me. I never read the Bible before. It never made sense to me. I was that exact same person. It was a bunch of old stories about a bunch of old people who lived a long time ago in some land far, far away. It was almost like a fairy tale to me in that sense. And man, when the gospel finally made sense to me and the Holy Spirit awakened my heart and illuminated my life to the reality of Jesus, reading the word became everything to me. And I remember from July of 2012 to January of 2013, I would sit in bed every single night and I would read a chapter of the New Testament, of one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I would just read them and cycle them over and over again because I wanted to learn about the character and the life of this God, this man who would do such a thing for me. And it just began to build this confidence and bolster this sense of urgency that, man, there's so many people who think they know Jesus because they went to church or because they come from a Christian family. Or maybe there's other kids in high schools and colleges and middle schools who are just like me, who don't have hope, who feel like they can't go another day, who feel like they can't make it another moment. And then Jesus enters into the story, just like the woman at the well in John 4, or just like the woman caught into adultery, and then everything changes. And I just believe that more than I ever have now, that when Jesus enters into the story, Mark, everything changes.
You know, I'm just thinking, I'm looking at my little notes, and we never got back to Mark 16:15 or John 3:30, why we wanted to open up the program with. So I'm going to have you both back tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and we'll begin talking about Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and then John 3:30. And listening friend, if you could witness Daniel Nally sitting here, when there's a testimony being shared, he just gets like the hairs on his arms start going up. He gets passionate and excited because he loves to see souls saved and people come to terms with a loving God that cares and loves them through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Daniel, we're going to have you back tomorrow to talk a little more about Gospel Encounter and That's how good. You see God working very strategically through all the various churches and the people that love Jesus and want to learn how to share, because sometimes it's a little intimidating, like, you know, I love God, I love Jesus, I just don't know how to go out and share. But listening friend, do you share about your grandkids? Do you share about your favorite restaurant? It's the same kind of thing. You love to talk about something that you're excited about. And maybe through the training that's going to be offered in the coming days and through today or tomorrow's broadcast, you're going to see that you can be that witness, that ambassador for God, to go wherever you go, as you go, and share that good news message, because God wants you to proclaim Jesus to everyone. And may we learn to do that more effectively in the days ahead through Gospel Encounter, through your church service, through the pastor that prepares and delivers a message each and every week, and maybe through our broadcast. So thank you guys for joining me on today, the Testimony Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's great to have Testimony Tuesday time again. And I look forward to sharing some more of your story tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. If you missed a portion of the broadcast, want to share it with a friend, or listen to it again, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Daniel Nally, and Nick Hurst with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.